This is Surrogacy, Baby. I'm Mike.
And I'm Kate.
And we're taking you along for the ride on our independent journey. Episode 11, Beta Update. Hello again, everyone. Thanks for being here. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Fancy meeting you here. So, we wanted to provide an update. After the last episode, we talked about how we had done the transfer and that the beta blood test was going to be happening in 9 days, 9-ish, 10.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. It's supposed to happen between like 10 and 12 days. Mm-hmm. So 10 days was Saturday.
Yep.
So I thought we would have to wait till Monday, but our clinic let us test on day 9.
Yep. And we have the results.
We'll just get it out of the way. It was negative.
Negative.
So we'll talk a little bit about how we found out and where we are now. But, yeah.
Yep.
It was negative.
Not great.
Yeah, not what we were hoping for. So, yeah, our clinic had us test on a Friday, and it was day 9 post-transfer. And getting to that point wasn't too hard for us. I feel like we were thinking about, or I was thinking about it every day, but I was okay. I was handling that anxiousness pretty well. And then we got to Friday and I was excited to find out. And then I started worrying that we weren't going to find out that day because our surrogate went to a local lab instead of driving down to the clinic for just a blood test, because that is just, there's no, you know, no point in driving for hours just for a blood test.
Yeah.
So she did a local lab and I was a little worried that the clinic wasn't going to get the results back. So I was thinking, oh, I've done so good at waiting, but wait, I don't want to wait till Monday.
Yeah.
So it was around 4 o'clock that I heard from the clinic and they said, well, the lab didn't actually run the pregnancy test. So they're going to run it now, but it's going to be after 5:30 when I go home. So we won't find out till Monday. I was like, oh gosh, like now we have to decide, like, are we going to have her take a home pregnancy test? Because I was fine with not testing, but now I want to know.
Yeah.
So we kind of were sitting with the fact that we weren't going to find out. And then I got a call from the doctor a little after 5. And so he was pretty quick to just tell me the test was negative. So I was trying to absorb that. And then he hits me again with, and I'm concerned about moving forward with your surrogate. So we need to talk about that. I was thinking, oh gosh, like here we go again.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do more testing before
we try again.
Trying again. And I just kind of listened and asked a couple questions. What we had found out before, when we knew that we weren't going to get the beta results back, we had seen that the progesterone levels were quite low. So I was trying to absorb, is there an issue with progesterone? Is this just it didn't take because the percentages of it taking, you know, are only 50 to 60%?
Yeah.
Or so, you know, that's kind of what I've always thought. So I'm just trying to absorb that. He's telling me that he wants to do more testing. I know, at least I knew from our experience in March, that what we hear on that first day from the doctor is most likely going to change to that second phone call. So while I was listening to what he was saying, I knew that I would need to have another phone call with him to kind of really start to figure out what's going on. But yeah, so got off the phone call and just kind of sat in that of, well, it was negative and he's not going to let us do another transfer with this surrogate without more testing, more time. So not only is it negative, but we don't get to try again in the near future. I mean, somewhat near future. I think I was thrown off because I think even in the last episode I was thinking, or I was saying, if it doesn't work, then we wait one cycle and we try again.
Go again.
And so while I didn't quite realize how it would affect me for it to be negative, I thought, well, yes, that'll be hard, but we'll try again.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay, and maybe that time it'll work. And so then to be presented with, well, you might have to change surrogates. You're definitely not doing another transfer the next cycle. It just felt so much worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
I'll start and say kind of what we know now and then.
Yep.
So I took the weekend, tried to figure out what my questions were, and then I contacted the clinic again on Monday. And the doctor called me back, and I had a better conversation with him. He again was pushing slightly, I mean,
gently nudging.
Yeah, that we get a new surrogate. But I kind of talked to him about, you know, do you want us to get a new surrogate because you're really concerned that she's not going to be able to...
That she's, like, flat out not viable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it just that you're too... I mean, I guess I didn't say this, but in my mind I'm thinking, is it just that you're too careful?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a line because his wanting to be successful for his own reputation works in our favor.
Yeah.
If he's successful, we're successful. So you do want to listen to his opinion, but also he doesn't have to go through the emotional stress of how much money that's going to cost us, how much time that's going to cost us, the emotional burden of just having to create a new relationship, having to say goodbye to this other relationship that we've already laid a foundation with. And he doesn't have any of that. And he admitted that, yeah, I don't have to worry about that. So it's easy for me to say, go and find somebody new. So after talking with him, we kind of came up with a plan. His concern is he doesn't like to move forward if he doesn't have a reason why it failed. Our embryos are tested. Our surrogate has done this before. Everything looked good for the transfer. So in his mind, it should have worked.
There was like 100%. Perfect circumstances. Yeah.
Yeah. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, yeah, but there's still this.
There's no 100% chance
that
this is going to work.
But for him, he's thinking everything was perfect. So unless I can find a reason why it didn't work, and he's not accepting just bad luck as that, then he wants to move on. So he wants to do some blood tests to check basically our immune system. It's called implantation failure panel. I think it's basically to see, because sometimes women's immune systems can create an issue where it doesn't allow the embryo to implant. Mm-hmm. So she's already done that, but it was, he said, a year and a half ago. So I'm not really sure if this
when she did the last surrogacy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know exactly the timing, but she did it, I think, for the last one, and maybe they didn't repeat it for this one. I don't know exactly, but he wants to redo it because he says, things like that can change. That's fine. That's, you know, a fairly easy blood test. It's just extra money.
Yeah.
And then he wants to do another saline sonogram just to make sure that no polyps or cysts have formed. And then he wants to do an ERA. And so that is going to be basically all the steps for a transfer, except for at the end, we don't actually transfer. We take a biopsy. And
so specifically, she's taking all the medicine leading up to a transfer and then even take some of the post-transfer medicine as well. Or no?
No, she won't take anything post.
Okay.
But what happens is right now we have her starting the progesterone 5 days before her transfer.
Mm-hmm.
What some women need is they need an extra 12 to 36 hours of progesterone. And he said that it's a small percentage of women that actually need that.
Like 10% or something like that. Yeah.
But if she does fall into that, then that is what could help make the transfer.
Because then we're basically off by a day in terms of giving the right amount of progesterone to keep the embryo. Yeah.
And there's a certain environment everything is pretty scientific. So, but there's certain days that are best for the transfer and your levels of progesterone and all of these things that work together. And so what the hope would be is that if we do this ERA, if we find that it's just that we need to wait one more day for the transfer. We can give her one more day of progesterone, do the transfer, and then we would be successful that next time, hopefully. The concern is if we do all three tests and nothing comes up.
As abnormal.
Yeah, as abnormal. Then do we go forward and just try again?
Yep.
I think where we're at right now is we're feeling like we want to try.
One more time.
And sort of just think of this time as maybe it was just bad luck.
Yeah.
And yeah. And try one more time. And if that doesn't work, then we move on. But at this point, I mean, we really, really want to stay and stick with the surrogate that we've picked out.
We like her so much.
And so there is some emotional
tie
to that.
Well, it's also like logistically, she's close. She's a trooper. Just
yeah. And I've already, you know, like we've talked about, I'm such a planner. You know, it's hard to get that out of my mind of we could have our baby here in town.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, the logistics of just being able to drive 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Have our baby, bring the baby home and not have to deal with a 4-hour, 5-hour trip. Have our family be able to meet the baby right away. You know, it's hard to kind of get out of that when you've already for 9 months been kind of counting on that.
Yeah.
So there is that. And then also, like we said last time, there is a surrogate shortage. Yeah. So if we change surrogates, we're potentially not going to be able to find a match
for who knows
6 months, a year. You know, we could get lucky again, but there is that thought of we don't want to change. And then if we do change, we're not only delayed 3 months, we're delayed possibly a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of emotions in that, and we'll have to figure out once we get all the testing done, and maybe we'll have changed our mind. But that's kind of where we're at right now, is that we want to do these tests as quick as we can and try one more time with her and hope that we have better results next time. So yeah, so I guess what... Do you want to go first on what your thoughts on all of it is, or do you want me to? I have more thoughts than you, I'm sure.
I'll go first.
Like, how do you... I guess we were about a week out at this point, I'll say. We kind of learned from last time in that Mike doesn't really process things right away.
Yeah, it takes me time. And
I think... I needed some extra time to process things too. So we are, we're about a week out at this point. So I'd say my question to you would be, where were you, like, what were your thoughts kind of in it, like right after we found out that weekend, and where are you at now?
Yeah. I mean, because I was sitting next to you on the couch when you were talking to the doctor, and I mean, I would say... I let my instincts take over, which was like once he said it's negative, I mistakenly, and much to your dislike, which I totally get, I'm not saying you were wrong, but I kind of like checked out. I was like, okay, it didn't work. And I kind of just went to like, I think it's because I had the same thought you did, which is like, okay, next time. Like, let's focus on next time. Let's not focus on this time. Because, like, I don't know how much we talked about in the last episode, but I was always... I'm usually a really optimistic person, but
you've been really more, like...
pessimistic.
Yeah.
Just, like...
about this process.
Just, like, really guarded and careful.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, I told you if the beta test came back positive, I was going to be like, okay, well, yeah, technically we're pregnant, but, like... In reality, we got to get to 12 weeks. Like, you know, just like if we were getting pregnant ourselves, like, you know, yay, the test came back positive. But, like, we got to wait till week 12 to tell anyone because, like, you know, there a lot can happen in that time. So I think that's why I kind of checked out. But I was really, I don't know, I was really sad and pissed. And I think you kind of called me out for checking out. And I was like, yep, because... And I'm not going to say the words I said here. And I wasn't being mean to you. I was just saying, you know, it effing sucks. And, you know, is that, you know, is that the kind of thing you want to hear? And that's the thing I forget about you is, like, you want to hear that, that I think it sucks and that I'm feeling bad. And, and I kind of hold it in because I feel like, you know, our our misery will resonate off of each other and make it worse for each of us. So, yeah, I think, it, again, it's been another one of those roller coasters of, like, okay, like, the transfer didn't work, so, like, we'll just go to the next one. So, like, yeah, bad news, but, you know, c'est la vie, and this is just the surrogacy or the transfer process, so, like, let's move on. And then it was like, you know, the doctor saying, like, oh, maybe you find a new surrogate. And that's, like, the bottom of the roller coaster, like, you know, despair and dismay. And then, you know, on Monday, hearing, like, oh, well, let's run a couple tests, and the tests aren't that bad. And, like, really the biggest inconvenience is, like, time, which, you know, we're trying to do this as quickly as possible. So, like, taking another 1 to 2 cycles to, like, test and make sure it's okay. It's like, yeah, I get it. You got to do it, but...
And money.
Yeah, I know.
At this point, it's crazy, though, because it's like... I think we're in a good place where we're trying not to get bogged down by the stress of the money, but also it's just crazy that it's like, oh, yeah, cool, we're signing up for another $4,000 to $6,000, yeah, but I guess that's the process.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I by the time we were done on the roller coaster, it kind of ended up back where we started when we got the news of, you know, yeah, there may be a smoking gun as to why you can't use the surrogate, but let's run some tests. And I think if we forced the issue and just said, look, the test didn't come back with anything definitive, but we want to try again with the surrogate, do it, doctor. I think he kind of technically has to.
Well, yeah, we kind of talked about, we'll do these tests, and if we want to move forward, even if we don't find something, that he's willing to move forward.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. So, yeah, I mean, I've kind of leveled out, but, you know, it's a bummer, and it especially, like, I think I've felt a sadness similar to, you know, couples that are trying to get pregnant and their friends know they're trying to get pregnant and just all they want is for those friends to have a kid because they know they're going to be great parents. Because, like, you know, there were a couple people that I had told, hey, the transfer went through because that was the big next step for us. And so over the past week, they've checked in and said, you know, because they knew the test was happening, and how's it looking? And I had to be like, yeah, it, you know, it didn't take. And, you know, they were supportive. They were devastated/supportive for me. But it, you know, it's rough to kind of tell people that every time it comes up. Yeah. So that me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. I think there's multiple layers to it. I think it definitely got, like, really real for me that we lost an embryo.
Yeah.
Even though I felt when we started, like, we have enough embryos. I think, you know, I was really confident in the amount of embryos that we have and knowing that we want 2 kids and that kind of thing. And then I think as it started to get closer, it did start to sink in, like, we're super lucky that we have 8 embryos because there are some parents that only have
1 or 2.
Yeah, or even 3 that would, you know. But it did start to sink in that we only have 8 tries. That's it. Like, we can't make more embryos. So that started to sink in. And now I'm thinking, okay, now we only have 7. And while that still is good, it really hits me of we have 7 chances, and if we don't have our 2 kids, that's it. And we're going to, you know, look towards adoption. There are donor embryos. Like, there are other options, but that's it for us. And so I think that really hit me. And then I think it just, I think it's hard. This week is like stressful every year because it's your birthday, it's our anniversary, I'm constantly planning. And then to add this on top of it was like a lot. And I think it, coming up on our anniversary, you know, it's been, we're going to be married for 7 years. And I think I'm struggling. I'm going to get emotional. I'm struggling. For 7 years, we've been trying to get me healthy. Trying to get me healthy so that we can have a kid. And we don't have either. You know, I've been struggling with my health recently. And I think that makes it harder because I kind of just want, like, one or the other at least, you know. We've been fighting for 7 years. And it feels like we've made progress, but we're not where we want to be. And I think this failing kind of just, I think just at this time, it just, like, kind of feels heavier.
Yeah. I get that.
So, and I just, I think I have a lot of regrets that we didn't start this earlier. Not that we knew. Like,
yeah.
We didn't know how long this process would take. I think we thought, you know, we got the embryos. That's a long process. Now that we've decided we want to do it, like, we were super motivated. We found somebody right away. And I just kind of, you know, initially, we wanted to transfer in January. That got pushed to February. That got pushed to March. That got canceled. Got pushed to June. That failed, you know.
Yeah.
So, it just feels...
crappy.
Crappy.
Yeah.
It does. So, I think it's hard because I always felt guilty about feeling sad because we have a good life. And there's so many things that could be worse. And so sometimes I feel bad feeling bad. But, I mean, I just think it's normal that we're just in it right now. I'm really happy that we have some steps to take of we can do these tests and try again.
Yeah.
So I am happy about that. But I just, I'm really... overwhelmed right now with my health, I think. And so I've got so many decisions to make about what I'm going to do. I'm frustrated that I'm not better. I'm frustrated that I'm, like, somewhat getting worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just feels heavy of, like, I'm not better. We failed. Our transfer failed. We have to wait even longer. We have to pay even more money, like much more money. And I'm scared that it's not going to take a second time. We've been trying to adopt a dog. And every time we try, it gets taken before we can. So I think it's just...
It's just stacking up on top of each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to go from a swing... because again, I think that is why... I was very guarded about the blood test. And that even if it... And I'm not saying you should have done this, but I think you rode a roller coaster both ways, right? Like, the transfer succeeded, and I think you were really excited, and you were like... The transfer was the thing we had to get over. Like, yeah, the blood test, but, like, we knew our embryos were tested, like... Our surrogate's healthy, like, you know, we haven't had any red flags. So I think I got the sense that you were a little more optimistic, which is kind of a role reversal for us.
Yeah.
And then for it to fail, I feel like it was just you had further to fall.
Yeah. And but the thing is, too, is, like, I've thought about that, like, for the next time, am I not going to, you know, get as excited? But I also, like, don't want to... Yeah. I don't want to not be excited.
I was going to jokingly say, you don't want to be like me.
But it's like, it's hard because I'm like, those are our embryos. Yeah. Like, I don't want to not be excited. And I don't want to, like, live in that fear of it you know, of that heartbreak, because I want to kind of give, I don't know, like, respect to our embryo and, like, process sense. And stuff. And so it's hard because, I don't know, I think each step we get a little bit further and we kind of understand a little bit more. And even this time, me knowing, okay, I'm going to talk to the clinic on Monday and I'll probably get some, like, a different answer. Yeah. And I was much more prepared for that because it had happened. So yeah. I feel like I will get more prepared for this. But obviously, if it fails again, we're going to have to find someone new, most likely.
Yep.
And that's going to be...
It's going to be even rougher than it was this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'll go into it knowing
that.
I think, you know, so maybe it'll be a little... easier because it's like, well, if it fails, we at least know that's the next step versus this time when it failed. I know. I'm trying to tell myself. But I just felt like this time when it failed, I was not at all expecting to hear, let's find a new surrogate. Yeah. And I think that might just be his go-to because I think he's just really careful.
He's got to let us know where this surrogacy or the surrogate tree is that we can pick these surrogates off of that are just ready to go. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that's frustrated me is, like, you really have no idea what it takes to find a surrogate. Like, even if we were using an agency, like,
yeah.
I'm sure the agency would charge us quite a bit of money to find a new surrogate.
Well, and the wait period for the agency is long right now, depending on the agency.
It's so tone deaf to be, like, you know, at the first sign of trouble.
Yeah.
That's been frustrating, I think, for me and for you.
Yeah. I think next time, too, I think I was telling you part of the, like, what was hard was some of the things of I had joined a new Facebook group that was specifically for the month that we were transferring. It was actually,
it was like
July, August
or something? Or?
It was May, June, July. So I had joined.
Q2.
I had joined one in March before our transfer. And then, of course, I had to leave it because we didn't transfer. So this time I thought, I'm going to wait. I joined it after we transferred. Yeah. And I, you know, there were other women. There was one other woman who transferred the same day
we did.
And so then I was telling Mike a couple days ago, like, this is the second group I have to leave. And I had waited in it. And I don't know why I did that to myself. But... the woman that transferred on our day, it was positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, of course, I had to, you know, have to leave that group. And so there's things like that that I'm like, okay, well, next time, maybe I won't join one until it's positive. But those groups are kind of nice because it's a much smaller, there was only, I think, 40 of us women. And it's a much smaller, you're all going through the same thing. You can kind of cheer each other on and that kind of thing. So it is kind of a fun group to be able to join. But it's just like things like that. And then, you know, another group that I'm in, they're all on, you know, we're all in different stages. But they've been, one of them did a transfer today. And so there's all the talk about that. And I think outwardly, like, no one would know that I'm struggling. I think I'm like, I have a lot of practice with my Lyme of just like keeping it inside. So outwardly, I'm fine with people and I'm talking to them about their babies and their kids, but just internally, it's been
really rough.
Kind of, you know, killing me inside.
Yeah.
So I think just, I mean, we're a week in. I think another couple of days, like, I will kind of switch that mindset of, okay, what's the next steps? I had to work with the clinic to schedule the next tests for our surrogate. Our surrogate has been really great. She checked in on us and, you know, she was super sad just for us and everything. And she is willing to do whatever we want. I wanted to make sure that she was okay by putting her body through all this. I mean, I feel so bad that she's putting her body through all these hormones again for not even a transfer, just a test. Yeah. And she's just, whatever you guys want to do.
She's just a freaking trooper.
So she's been really great and that's been great. And my family's been great. Our friends have been awesome. So
yeah,
we have so much support, so we are really lucky. It's just
freaking hard.
It just sucks. I mean, it just wasn't what we wanted, but so many IPs go through this and so much more. Yeah. And
I mean, we've said it on previous podcasts, but you have a friend that you've met on Instagram or just connection, and she's on her third surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard that and we kind of went, hopefully that doesn't happen to us.
Yeah. Luckily, I mean, I'm sure it was extremely hard. Luckily for her, they hadn't gotten to contracts with the first two. So
gotcha.
It was somewhat earlier. But I mean, I actually was talking to her and she already has a daughter and she's doing this a second time. Her second journey has been delayed a few months, and she was talking to me. I had filled her in. I was trying to get some advice, and she was just saying she really felt for us because even though it's hard for her to be delayed, she said it's easier because she has a child.
Yeah.
And she knows what it's like to be in our position that we just desperately want a child, and month after month after month, it said, you know, it's a no. And it's, like I said, it's just like if this was the beginning, I mean, it's the beginning of our surrogacy journey, but it's not the beginning of us wanting kids, obviously. So I think that's what is hard. It's like, yes, we've only been doing this for a year, but we've been waiting, you know, for 6 years prior to even start. And so it doesn't feel like we're just... Like, to me, it's like, it doesn't feel like we're just 1 year into it.
Yeah.
It's like, and it just feels sometimes like we're running out of time. Even though I know we're not, it's just like, life is short.
Yeah.
And we are running out of our 30s.
Yeah.
You know? It just feels like time is going by really fast.
Yeah.
And there's no change. So... That's all just to say that I think it is hard when you're waiting on that first child. It doesn't make surrogacy easier. Well, I mean, I guess it does, but it doesn't make surrogacy easy for the second child. But at least from her standpoint, she's better able to handle the interruptions and the, you know, that kind of thing, because she knows she's got her child and... that it will happen eventually. And so.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. So now we wait. We'll keep you guys updated. I'm hoping that we are going to get to do the ERA next month.
Yep.
And that we don't have to wait.
Yep.
But.
We shall see.
Hopefully I'll find that out maybe next week.
Yeah.
And we'll keep you guys updated.
Yep. That's Oop, go ahead.
I was going to say, we are working on some ideas for some more content.
Interim episodes.
Yeah.
Hashtag content.
So that we don't take as long of a break as we did last time.
If you have any ideas, feel free to Instagram message us at surrogacybabypodcast.
Or email us at...
Do Instagram.
Okay.
That email's a little... I'm not happy about that email, Sitch.
Okay. Then follow us on Instagram.
Ooh, you can use the contact form on the website.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
But if you just email us at that email address, it's kind of messy and I don't like it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, tech problems. That's my life. Don't worry about it. But yeah, we appreciate you listening to our woes, our journey, our update. Yes. And when we have more to share, we will. So, for now, she's Kate, and I'm Mike, and this has been Surrogacy Baby. And we hope to see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.